Will you please pray with me? Most loving and gracious God, our great healer and physician worker, we come to you this day lifting up our loved ones, our friends, our family members, colleagues, neighbors, co-workers, and ourselves, Lord, all that are in need of God's healing and wholeness in our lives. May your spirit be in this place, that we would feel your presence, of your love and your grace. Lord, bless the doctors, the nurses, the medical staff that provides healing and wholeness to our lives this day. And Lord, may you bless the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, all that I speak here this day, Lord, may you speak to me and speak through me. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The gospel reading this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 29 through 34. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and with John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. And Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to Jesus all who were sick and possessed with demons. And the whole city gathered around at the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew who he was, the true Son of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This gospel message this morning is taken from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. From Mark's gospel that I just read, we hear the story of Jesus healing a woman. Healing a woman with a fever. Now, this woman is not known by a name, but she is identified as Simon's mother-in-law. So to help you understand this healing story, where it took place in Jesus' gospel story, I want to back this up to the beginning of chapter 1. I was reading verse 29 in chapter 1, but I want to back up to the beginning. Mark's gospel begins with Jesus being baptized by John in the Jordan River. He then went out into the wilderness where he experienced 40 days of fasting and praying, and he experienced temptation out in the wilderness. From that point forward, he then began his public ministry. And what better thing to do than to start his ministry than calling some disciples that would come and minister alongside him, that would minister with him. So he called the brothers Simon, and he called brother John and Andrew. And then he went a little farther along, and he called James, and he called John. And all of these four men were fishermen. And immediately they dropped their nets there at the lake in Galilee, and they began to follow Jesus. Well, after Jesus has called these four disciples, later some more would be called along the way, he went with them to Capernaum. And he entered the sanctuary there, the synagogue there, and he began to teach. And it is there in the synagogue, after he has taught for a while, that he meets a man with an unclean spirit. And as he is there with this man with an unclean spirit, he heals the man. Well, the crowd gathered nearby was very impressed by what he was doing, and they began to catch the crowd's attention. Well, after a little while in the synagogue and that healing, Jesus leaves with those four disciples that are called at this point, and he goes to Simon's house, where they meet his mother-in-law. So within these first few chapters of Mark's gospel, these first 34 verses, we experience baptism, we experience temptation in the wilderness, we experience healing and teaching in the synagogue, and then we experience Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law. So within these first few verses of Mark's gospel, we really see a summary of what Jesus' ministry will be all about. His whole ministry is focused upon teaching and focused upon preaching and focused upon healing. Healing is a very important part of Jesus' ministry. And Mark's gospel is our shortest gospel that we have. It only has 16 chapters. Yet when you look at Mark's gospel and you begin to read through all of the stories, you discover that there are 13 specific healing stories that Jesus did. There's 13 people that are named. He not only healed the man with the unclean spirit in the synagogue, and he took the fever from Simon's mother-in-law, but Jesus also healed a leper, a paralyzed man, a man with a withered hand, a man with a demon, a girl, A woman who had been bleeding for many years, a young child, a deaf man, a blind man, a boy with an unclean spirit, and he finally ended up healing blind Bartimaeus. Now these are just 13 people that are specifically identified, but Jesus was also known for gathering the crowds around him and performing many healing miracles there. So healing is a very important part of his ministry, not just the teaching and not just the preaching to the crowds and to his disciples, but also healing. He healed people of all different types of physical illnesses, as well as mental illnesses. This week in our church-wide study on The Way, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus by Reverend Adam Hamilton, we come to chapter 2 in his book, where our small groups and our classes and our Bible studies throughout the week will be discussing chapter 2. Now in chapter 2, Reverend Hamilton focuses upon the healing ministry of Jesus. And he discusses the different healings that we can experience in our lives. And as you meet with your groups this week, or if you join in Arvin Dennis or the Tuesday Morning Women's Group, you're going to journey with Adam Hamilton to the Holy Land, where we see the context and the situation and the place and the location of where some of these miracles were performed. And if you're not part of a Lenten small group, I would certainly encourage you to buy a copy of the book in the bookstore so you can get a little more in-depth perspective on healings from Reverend Hamilton's perspective. When I was reading the chapter this week on healing, I found this chapter to be very personal, and I found this chapter to be very emotional. You might discover something similar as you read the chapter this week, and as I look out into the sanctuary this morning, I look out and know that probably everybody in the sanctuary knows someone or has known somebody who has gone through a difficult health situation. Maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's a parent, a partner, a sibling, a child, a coworker, a neighbor, or a church friend. Probably all of us know someone who has or is currently going through a difficult health situation. So this chapter 2 on Adam Hamilton's book can be pretty emotional and can be very personal, and that's okay. This morning, as we talk a little bit more about Jesus' healing ministry, I talk about his healing ministry with great compassion and great love and great sensitivity, realizing that those people in our lives that are going through hard times are not just people, they're our loved ones. They're our family, they might be ourselves. And so as we talk about healing this morning, I do so with great love and great compassion for you all. Through my own experience of having Crohn's disease and ministering to people with all sorts of different challenging health situations, I've come to believe three things about healing in our lives. There's many things that we could say about healing and God's healing in our life, but I pray that this morning that as I share these three things, that they might be a source of encouragement or a source of peace to you. And again, I speak from love, from my heart for you all. First, I've come to believe that if you or a loved one is facing a health issue, God is truly lamenting with you. God is lamenting with you. As a pastor, I have a privilege of visiting people in the hospital, and I have a privilege of visiting with people one-on-one as they're going through a difficult time, whether it's health-related or not. And as I visit with people, it's my hope that they'll be reminded how much they are a beloved child of God. And it's my hope that they'll be reminded of how much God truly loves them and how much compassion and grace that God has for them. And it is my hope that during these difficult times, they'll be reminded of that. And so if you or a loved one is going through a difficult challenge, know that God is truly lamenting with you. And know that you haven't done anything to deserve this. Absolutely nothing have you done to deserve this. And you're not being punished for something that you've done. God absolutely loves you unconditionally. You are a beautiful child of God. Whew. Good stuff. When we look at the gospel passage this morning, we see that Jesus was filled with so much compassion when he was with Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And with so much compassion and love, he reached out to her, and the fever was gone. And Christ reaches out to all of us. God came to us and became incarnate meaning that Jesus was the very presence of God with us in the flesh. And because God is such a compassionate, loving God, he came to us in the form of Jesus to walk among us, to touch our hands, to feel us, to reach out to us with compassionate love. And we see that through the ministry and the teachings and the healing of Christ. God is lamenting with you. Second, I've come to realize that God provides healing, even if a cure isn't always possible. When I discovered that I had Crohn's disease about 5 years ago, I was shocked to learn of my diagnosis. I was a young 20-something. I was healthy. I was fit. I watched what I ate. I liked to work out. It was quite a surprise. I've come to accept this Crohn's disease. See, it's an autoimmune disease. And currently, modern medicine doesn't have a cure for this type of disease. So similar to someone who maybe has diabetes, someone with Crohn's disease manages the condition through medication and diet and exercise. So it's someone with Crohn's or diabetes, and we learn to live with it. We learn to manage it. But currently, there's not a cure for such things. It's not like the cold or a flu or like Simon Peter's mother-in-law that was healed of that. It's not like the cold or a flu. However, I've come to realize that God provides healing, even if a cure isn't possible. Because I believe that there's a difference between a cure and there's a difference between a healing. See, a cure is when the body is completely ridded of its illness and it's no longer there. But healing, we can all experience healing. Healing is experiencing wholeness in our lives. Healing is experiencing peace in our lives. Healing is experiencing joy and wholeness and God's love and God's mercy in our lives, even in the midst of an illness. So Simon Peter's mother-in-law was cured. The fever was gone. But in other passages, we see Jesus meeting with people and gathering in crowds. And in other passages, we see that Jesus didn't necessarily provide a healing, but he provided, or didn't necessarily provide a cure, but he provided healing. Perhaps it was a healing from something emotional or healing from something spiritual. And in the face of those situations, they found peace and wholeness and mercy and grace. While I've not received a cure for Crohn's, I have experienced healing and peace and wholeness and God's love and mercy in my life. God provides healings even if cures aren't always possible. But God provides healing not just from physical things. Maybe some of us sitting here today don't have a loved one or a friend or ourselves going through a difficult health situation. But God wants to provide healing and wholeness in all of our lives. Maybe it's something emotional or spiritual that you need to let go of. And I've come to believe that to receive healing, we need to come to God in prayer and turn over those things that hold on to us. Turn over those things that we've been clutching tight for so long that we just need to release to experience true peace with God. You know, maybe that's releasing anger and bitterness. Maybe that's releasing jealousy and pride or discouragement. Maybe that's releasing the negative attitudes and the self-pity. God wants us all to experience healing and wholeness in our life. Even if a cure isn't possible, we can all experience healing for Christ. So God laments with us, and God always provides healing. And finally, I believe that God wants all of us to help be a part of healing in other people's lives and be a part of healing in the world. I believe that healing was such an important part of Jesus' ministry that he not only did it himself, but he called the disciples. He gathered a community around them, and he brought them into the ministry to join with him. And today, our healing might look a little bit different. Jesus was the hands, and the disciples were the hands that provided healing. And today, we turn to our doctors and our nurses, but we're also part of those healing hands of God. We're called to be helping people in need. Just a few moments ago, when we celebrated the baptisms of Everett and of Emma, we celebrate that when a child is baptized, they become this beloved child of God. But in our baptisms, then, we're also called into ministry and to mission in the world. And so all of us that have been baptized here, all of us that are a part of the body of Christ, are called to be a part of mission and ministry in the world, transforming it bringing wholeness to the world, bringing peace to the world. All of us are a part of God's standard to bring healing and wholeness. Friends, talking about healing is a difficult thing. You noticed a few moments ago, I just kind of got caught up with a few tears. It's a difficult piece to talk about. But God is lamenting with us. God loves us and never forsakes us. And God is always providing healing, even if cures aren't possible. And God wants all of us to be a part of bringing healing and wholeness into the world. So may you go forth in Christ's name to bring healing into the world. Amen.